Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly. Deborah.
So I'm remote.
I know
we're like flipping. This last week, you were remote, and I was there, and now I'm remote, and you're there.
I'm so sorry. So tell me what's going on over there.
Well, I know we're not introducing her quite yet, but boy, do we have the perfect guest for me today, because as you know, people have heard from me in the past that our dear Mr. Prowler, my kitty cat, does have abdominal cancer, and we actually just went to a specialist today, an oncologist. But you know, I actually feel a little bit more hopeful now, because I feel like we're like in the best hands possible, and you know, he's still doing really well, and she did tell us that he's not in pain and he's not suffering. May feel like he maybe has a little bit like the flu, just a little bit. You know, we've got to have a lot more tests, but the miracle of today is he's with me in the car and he's not howling.
That is actually a miracle. That's great.
It is a miracle. Usually he howls like crazy. So anyway, I'll keep you posted. I'll keep everybody posted, but we're just going to keep our fingers crossed and keep doing what we're doing. But we're definitely changing the treatment protocol. We're no longer doing what we were going to be doing, and she's going to do ultrasound and like another kind of like a biopsy type thing and chest x-rays and the whole nine yards for the little bugger.
I was going to interrupt you and tell you that I had Moose on my lap. I brought Moose in as a surprise because of our guest, but then he just jumped off.
Oh,
is that hilarious?
Moosey.
The studio, he's like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. So funny. But oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. And our pets are the best.
Are.
How was your weekend otherwise?
You know, I've been, since I found this out from last Thursday, I've been kind of a wreck. That's just the truth. You know, we have our feelings. I'm a little bit of a foreshadower worry wart. And so, you know, stressed myself out a little bit, but, you know, tried to stay grounded and present and, you know, just loving on him every minute that I can.
That's,
you know,
true.
So
yeah.
Thanks for asking. How about you, hon? How are things going with you?
Everything's going okay. So funny. My son, I'm going to drop off my older son today at a drop off party. And I'm like so excited about it. I'm like, yes, because I've only done, I think, one other drop off party. And he's ready for it. And so that'll be cool. And then I'm going to take London to, they're watching a movie at Universal Studios. So I'm going to take London around while Remy's in the movie, you know, with his friends. So London and I will have like a couple hours to go on roller coasters. And he's like my daredevil. So it'll be like,
cool.
Super fun. Like the two of us
are going to
go to town.
When you say drop off party, literally meaning that you're not going to stay with him,
like,
or is it some other weirdo thing that's in this generation I don't know about?
No, adios. You take care of my child for 2 hours. If that's what you want to do for your child's party, I support it 100%. So
awesome.
But he's nine now, so it's like, you know, it's understandable.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So should we talk about last week's guest? Are you there?
What's that? Okay. Nope, I'm here.
So last week we had Dr. Robert Leahy. He is the author of The Jealousy Cure, Learning to Trust, Overcome Possessiveness, and Save Your Relationship. He's also the author of many, many other books. One of my favorites is The Worry Cure. And, you know, I just love this man. I love him. I think he's awesome. And he's just so knowledgeable and really is just like such a pioneer with CBT and cognitive behavioral therapy. So I loved having him on. It was a super interesting topic.
What struck me is so great about him is how compassionate he is, you know? And I love that he said, look, if you want to talk about polyamory, I'm not the one.
Yes, exactly.
We're not talking about removing jealousy. We're talking about how do you handle it, because it's normal. So I thought it was interesting that he, you know, he knew what his areas were, and he, you know, is really super smart and very compassionate. in his area. And exactly. So he was terrific. Thanks for finding him.
Yes, of course. I thought it was super interesting because I think I love that you clarified between jealousy and envy, and, you know, he really normalized the emotion, and the book is great. The book is really fabulous. So if you know somebody who's having struggles with jealousy in a relationship, or your partner's having struggles, or you are, I think it's a really great tool. So, okay.
Agreed. All right.
On
now,
we're so excited.
I wish I could be there. I'm so sad I can't be there in person, but I will do the best I can because Prowler is important.
Well,
so go ahead.
The perfect thing is that she does energy work, so you don't even need to be here. You know what I mean? Like, she feels you in spirit. So today's guest is Denise Mange. I was like so nervous I'd get it wrong. And she's a certified dog trainer, pet intuitive, pet numerologist, and founder of Pet Prana. After a decade of working at some of the most prestigious advertising agencies in New York City, Denise left the glitz and glamour of Madison Avenue to pursue a true sense of fulfillment and soul's purpose, which she found working with dogs. Upon certification through traditional dog obedience training programs, she realized there had to be more that could be done to honor the connection between pups and their humans. Looking for ways to foster those deeper connections, Denise studied with some of the top animal communicators and intuitives in the field, and eventually developed a unique brand of mindful dog training to help parents forge a loving partnership with their pups through the lens of mind, body, and energetic connection. Denise's proprietary process, translating beyond behavior, provides a roadmap to how your pet's behavior can give you specific insight into healing that is ready to take place, including limiting beliefs to process and which chakras they affect. Denise's integrative approach helps foster true partnerships and heart-centered connections that deepen the compassion and understanding of the lessons your animal companions are here to share with you. Using methods such as chakra work, animal communication, and pet numerology, in conjunction with the fundamentals of traditional obedience training. Thank you so much for coming. We're so excited.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Kelly and Deborah. And thank you for sharing your animal companions with me. This has been so cool so far.
It's awesome. I love that Moose is in studio. Like, it's so cute. He's like chilling. He's like ready to get on the mic. So cute.
I was going to say, can you get him to do a bark into the mic?
The guy is mute, which I love. He is so quiet. Like, you wouldn't even know he's here. Whippets typically don't bark really that much. So he's going to be pretty quiet. So, all right. We have a lot of questions, Denise. First of all, so like, I love this. So you went from advertising into dogs, and like, how did this happen?
Yeah. So I think in retrospect, advertising was the perfect job to lead me into what we're going to be talking about today, which is a mindful approach to dog training. Because in advertising, what you need to do is really understand people's motivations and needs, even when they're not able to verbalize itself. You really observe the person, observe their life, and observe what they're missing, what they're lacking. And that's how we come up with successful products. Mm. So as we work with our animal companions, we're going to take that same approach. Mm-hmm. We want to understand their motivations. We want to observe what they're trying to tell us, because a bark isn't always just a bark, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much more to everything.
Sure.
Yes.
You know, when I left advertising, I started working with dogs. I did the traditional dog obedience, you know, rooted in positive reinforcement.
Okay.
And the fundamentals are important, right? We want our dog to be able to sit and be well-mannered and well-behaved so we can bring them around with us.
Sure.
But I started realizing that just asking them to sit or trying to change their behavior wasn't really honoring the depth of the bond. And I started picking up, because I've always been a little intuitive, I started picking up on more of like the energetic themes that mm-hmm. were going on with different pet parents. And I came up with this whole new philosophy.
It's really cool. It really is.
That's awesome.
Because I remember when we got Moose, we got him as a puppy. We had a trainer who was great. I mean, he taught us to feed Moose hand to mouth so he mm-hmm. could trust us. But it was rigid for me. Like, it kind of like hurt my soul. Like, there was some lessons that I couldn't participate in. You know, he'd just be like, you know, he wanted Moose to walk straight, and he'd kind of like pull him, and it like hurt my heart. I was like way too sensitive for it.
Yeah. And I get that. You know, I think dog training to date has done a great job at addressing, you know, just the foundational elements of dog training, you know, teaching them commands and teaching them what's, you know, the rules of the mm-hmm. house. And then recently, probably in the past 10 to 20 years, we've been moving towards positive reinforcement, which is not only using food lures to help communicate what we like, you know, our currencies are food, toys, our attention.
Mm-hmm.
But traditional dog training today now also acknowledges that they need mental enrichment, right? So we're building their confidence. Not only are we teaching them right from wrong, quote unquote, we're helping build their confidence by teaching them new games, and that we have puzzle toys to feed them food through and all that good stuff. What I'm proposing is that's all wonderful, but we need to now look at the energy behind the situation. Because to your point, it hurt your heart because it wasn't honoring that mind-body energy connection that you share with your animal companion.
Completely.
I mean, they're the most intimate relationships in our lives for most of us.
So true.
You know, they
absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Do you have a strong opinion one way or another? I know that crate training is a very popular component these days of dog training in terms of, you know, that helps them feel safer, et cetera. What is your take on that?
So I'm definitely a fan of loving boundaries, whether it's through a playpen or, you know, just something that gives them their little space so they don't feel anxious, like they have too much territory to protect. Crates are great. I have a lot of international clients. So if you're traveling on an 8-hour flight from, you know, LA to or New York to Brazil, you want them to be comfortable in a crate. But I do love the premise of loving boundaries and giving them a tighter space that they can retreat to.
Okay.
You know, just like we need space to go and be alone with our thoughts and kind of get away from things. So as long as we use it in a positive way, never as punishment, I'm all for it.
Okay. That makes sense. That's good to know.
Yeah. And it gives us a little space.
Is it any different for small dogs versus big dogs, or just kind of the same?
I think it's pretty much the same, because at the end of the day, every dog needs that, just like little human children, if they don't nap, they get grumpy.
Yes.
Every dog needs a little time out every once in a while just to, you know, kind of ground and take a breather, and then we can go play with them some more.
So, okay, so you
pick
up on animals' energy. Is that kind of...
I do. So it's really interesting because animal communicators, we all get different things, right? There's some animal communicators who, when they're connecting with the animal, get, you know, I like the tuna treat versus the beef treat, you know, or more of that. Or I like playing with the red ball versus the green one. Then there's animal communicators who are intuitives, but medical intuitives, right? So they get exactly, you know what, there's a tendon in the right knee that's loose. What I've always gotten through the animals, what they've always brought to me, were bigger energetic patterns in their humans' lives. So they'll be, you know, they'll bring up situations that reflect back that, you know, they're not holding the boundaries around their heart. They're just letting people in. They throw themselves into relationships too quickly, or they bring up some unresolved things with their parents.
Interesting.
You know, the humans' parents that are ready to be solved. So they've always given me more big picture energetic patterns with the humans. It's been fascinating.
So, okay, and did you pick up on energy from moose when you came
out? So, moose is fascinating because, and let me know when you want me to go into it.
Go into it,
all
baby.
Right. But, so, I, yes.
And then, Deborah, we're getting right into Prowler, too, but since moose is here.
Sure.
So, one of the ways that I tap into the energy is through numerology, right? Because I strongly believe that everything in the universe is a sign to help us grow and see new symbols and see energies in a new way. So if I'm driving along the highway and the color red keeps catching my eye and I'm like, wow, I've really noticed red a lot, I might link that back to the first chakra because the first chakra is associated with red, right? If I'm someone who notices numbers a lot, I keep seeing my receipt and it's 444 and then, you know, I turned left on 4th Street.
Yeah.
Numerology might get my attention. Four has its own vibration and significance and is also linked to the fourth chakra.
Okay.
So, I do just simply tap into the energy, but then with numerology, you get just a foundational basis.
Okay.
Which is a perfect segue into you because moose is a 22-4, which is a master number, right? So if you add up the letters in his name, it adds up to 22. You always want to simplify it down to one number, so it's a 4, right?
Wow.
22-4 is a master vibration, meaning he has the option to vibrate at a 4, or at a 22, which is the higher level. He clearly, just feeling the energy of this dog, is that master vibration. Good Lord. So 22-4 is all this master builder energy, right? His job is really to raise the frequency around his home, but also the world, right? And with 22-4 animal companions, they typically have been with you in a past life.
Absolutely.
So you may have had that like remembrance and that that connection with him. 22-4 animal companions are also incredibly sensitive to change, both in their own routine as well as in the world. So if all of a sudden there was a big earthquake in Chile or something, you might have found that moose was a little off that day. So, you know, watch moose closely. And Moose really serves for you as the foundation to keep you centered. And also he's a visionary, which is interesting because he has one eye.
Yes.
Right? Which eye is...
Yeah.
The right eye is gone.
Okay, the right eye is gone. Interesting. Right. So what he's doing is he's creating that masculine vision. He's holding that masculine perspective so you can flow in your feminine perspective.
Wow.
Yeah, I just got chills with that.
Wow.
And Kelly, so the interesting thing is when I pulled your name, just your first name,
yeah.
you also are 22-4. So it's perfect. You guys are in sync.
Deborah knows. Like this dog, I say he's my only vaginal birth. I've had a cesarean. And I've just felt so connected to him ever since he was a puppy. Like we are like lovers.
Absolutely. And I feel that. I just feel that connection. And you're doing exactly what you need to be doing with the show and helping other people because you're creating that solid foundation for other people to build upon in their lives as well.
Oh,
you know, with this show, with your career. And four is a very heart-centered number, right? So you come at situations and people with compassion.
Oh,
so yeah, how
that's
lovely.
So cool. That's
yeah.
so awesome. I love it. So Deborah, I want to make sure we have time for you because Prowler is super important right now.
Yeah.
So you have all of Prowler's information?
I have Deborah's, Bob's, and Prowler's.
Yes, yes, because Bob is his brother and they're like totally bonded.
They are. And the three of you work really well together. It's interesting because Bob and Prowler are part of the same litter, right? They're litter mates. And they're working with you, carrying the same energetic message, but in different vibrations. Bob, if you pull the number from his, if you pull the numerology behind his name, he's a one. And that's an independent individual. So he's the one who's a little, you know, he wants to do his thing on his own time. He's not really super accommodating. But then Prowler is an eight. And eight is a higher vibration of one. Whereas one is an independent individual. Eight is the beautiful leader. So they both deal with being innovators and leading, you know, the path. But it's in a slightly different way. Bob does it for himself. Prowler is kind of leading more of that group. So you, Deborah, interestingly enough, you are a three. You're a self-expressive creative. And your job is to inspire others by creating your own art. So this radio show, again, you also are in the perfect situation because you're inspiring so many by just using your expressive creativity. Now, interestingly enough, when I look at their numbers more closely, so all of you are working on the lesson of eight, which Prowler is embodying right now, right? And so basically that has to do with abundance, right? And so it's interesting given that he's having some trouble accepting nourishment, right? Physically, his body's having a little trouble with accepting that abundance around the food. And so what's interesting is that leadership, that lesson that's coming up for all of you guys, for you, you lead and you find your leadership when you listen to your heart. For Prowler, he leads when he's learning and teaching from experience. So he's physically experiencing the disease in his body because that's how he learns his lesson and shares his lessons. For Bob, I know, right? And for Bob, he leads by seeing things from all perspectives and all sides. He's a little bit of that visionary energy. So if you're looking for inspiration as to your leadership style, you tap into Prowler and his energy if you want stories or some kind of tangible experiences to share to illustrate the points. And for Bob, you tap into him when you want to have a better perspective of all sides to a given situation.
Wow, this is fascinating.
I see.
I know this is a lot, but I was just so excited by the numbers.
Do you get anything in terms of like his prognosis or how long he will be around us to teach us these lessons? Is he going to keep fighting? Is that just not the stuff you pick up from him?
So medical intuitive stuff, and Moose just kind of circled around here, which
it's
is interesting.
So cute. Yeah.
So with Prowler, he's not giving me a time frame because he says you can't put a time frame on an experience. He's going to be with you until he feels he's got everything he could out of that experience. Part of the experience is also going to be you learning to tune into his energy so that when he's no longer here in body, you'll still be able to recognize him. You'll have those moments where you're like, I swear I heard his little collar jingle. Or you'll have those kind of moments. So you guys are kind of pulling into that karmic flow, right? So that it can be as above as below, right? So that's also part of that number eight and that abundance, is that recognition that everything going on outside of his body is also going to be something that you can experience. So it's that recognition, that karmic loop.
Wow.
I love that. Oh, but Fowler, I hope you are a very slow learner right now. Don't learn fast from your experiences right now. Take it very slow. Do the Zen Buddhist style. And so very slowly.
What's really interesting about that is Prowler is very, he wants to experience everything. He wants to feel everything. He wants to lick everything. He wants to touch everything. So he's that observer. And animal companions are so great at helping us become observers within our relationship with them. Because at the essence, every experience that we have with our animal companions is energy and a vibration. It's not good or bad. It's an experience. Mm. And so he's teaching you to really lean in. Mm-hmm.
When you say that, so when I first got them from foster care and brought them home when they were little guys, it was amazing how he... Did I lose you guys?
No, we're here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, because my phone was beeping and looking like the same number. Sorry about that. Okay.
No problem.
Sorry. So when I brought him home, you know, he would come out and he almost guided Bob. Bob would not come out without Prowler's curiosity and approval first. And he would explore everything and check it all out and then sit and pause. And even today at this brand new strange place today, this brand new vet, we got in there. He first went under the chair and hid, and then slowly came out, and before you know it, he was marking everything in the room and checking out the new bed and sniffing. So, and it's true, he really has that curiosity, wants to take all the experience in. Very sweet.
Yeah, and he's also, based on his numbers, he carries a lot of 7 and 3 energy, and they're both very magical numbers. And, you know, 7's about that philosopher king of the universe, and 3 is about the alchemy when you bring together, you know, think, you know, fathers, all the trinities that we have in nature, right? That are the basis of religion. So he's helping you believe and renew your faith in that cosmic connection that you guys share.
Oh,
yeah.
Aww.
He's amazing. I mean, well, both of them are.
That's so sweet.
Yay. Thank you, Prowler. So, now, can you find out something about your hamsters?
That's so weird you said that, because this morning we woke up and one of them is missing.
Ooh.
So I would love some intuition about that. So London, my younger one, opened up the door, I think, yesterday, and one of our hamsters is missing. So if you have any idea where this little sucker is.
What are their names, the hamsters?
Okay, so the one that's missing, I believe, is either Ruby or Stella. We can't tell them apart. It's one of them.
That's so funny.
But two are safe, mm-hmm. just one is missing. And there's another one named Cutie who's safe, so...
Good, good. Okay. So what's kind of coming through is it sounds a little hokey, but I 100% ascribe to this. The cosmic activity really affects animals, especially the more sensitive ones.
Okay.
And right now we're in the midst of 3 eclipses, and we just had a new moon.
Wow.
So it feels like Ruby is the one who's missing.
Okay.
And I see her kind of like in a dark corner, basement or ground level, because she escaped to do a lot of grounding because she was feeling completely like the energies were intense.
Okay.
And a lot of times our animal companions who ground, who need that additional grounding, process energy for us within the house.
Wow.
So what I would say is if you want Ruby to come back, check those, you know, corners in the ground floor, the basement, whatever's the lowest level closest to the earth.
Wow. Okay.
But you guys also do some family grounding, do some breathing exercises, all that stuff. That's going to help process the energy on her behalf, and she'll be ready to come back and get off that kind of grounding kick she's on.
That's amazing. Okay. Yeah. I'll tell
that. That is amazing. Wow.
That's so funny, though, Deborah, that you said that, like, randomly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, well, because you love those little babies, too.
I know.
Of course. Yeah.
So, Denise, I'm really curious. How do you shield yourself from taking on too much energy of other people?
Yeah, so that's a tough one we all have to learn, right? Growing up, I was super intuitive, super empathic, and so I actually shut it down. And right around the age of 6, I was like, this is weird. Don't know what this is. People are popping into my bedroom at night. Forget it. Mm. So I kind of shut it down. And then when I was in advertising, it started popping back up. And then I turned to the traditional evening martini, you know, that right. a lot of us do. So once I learned grounding techniques are so important, and also shield and energetic cleansing.
Right.
Right. So even simple things like if you walk into your home, picture like a waterfall washing you off. Mm. You know, a lot of us don't think to cleanse our auras. Our auras pick up things as if it was a dust magnet outside. So literally see yourself in the shower cleansing your aura as well. So like a foot around you, just kind of do the old like brush off, mm-hmm. the dust off thing. And also I've learned to shut down the intuition and only invite it when it's time.
We have a caller if you want to.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, yeah.
Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and therapist Kelly. Are you there? Let's see. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, this is David, a listener. I'm actually the father of Stella and Ruby, and I'm going to go down into the basement and start looking now.
Oh, good.
So thank you.
Good.
That's so funny.
Let us know how that goes.
Yes,
awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you again.
That's really funny.
I like that. He identified himself as their father, not your husband.
Exactly.
Oh, not David.
Not Kelly's husband, but Stella and Ruby's father.
Oh, that's sweet.
All right, David, keep us posted. If you find her, call us back.
Okay.
All right, bye. Thanks for
coming. Oh, my gosh, that's great.
So funny. So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have animals of your own, Denise? I can only imagine the answer is yes on that.
It's actually an absolutely not. I don't. Can you believe that? I actually was not allowed to have pets growing up. So, you know.
Oh, no.
I know. I grew up in an apartment in São Paulo, Brazil. Mm. And my dad actually hates animals. Like, I can't even imagine what that's like. But so, you know, dog was out of the question. Cat was out of the question. So I would sneak in insects, you know, roly-polies and doodle bugs, caterpillars. I tried sneaking in some lab rats at one point and got busted.
God.
Yeah. So the cool thing about that is I've started learning to find that wisdom and the beauty in even like the smallest little souls, you know, because dogs and cats are easy when they look at us.
Sure.
But a caterpillar, you're like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. So I had a connection with animals that way. And then as I became working with in advertising, just you're 24/7 around the clock.
Yeah.
And when I started working with the right. animals, you know, it was tough to balance being a pet parent and being, you know, with other pets all day. Mm-hmm. So what I say is I'm the godmother to so many, and I get to experience them that way.
You know, it's interesting. I have to tell you, I have a spiritual teacher, and she doesn't have any children, and mm-hmm. she feels like her, you know, I don't know, clients are her children. Like, and I can totally understand that. I mean, you have so much to give, and so it's like, that's where your focus is. I get that.
Yeah. It's, you know, I feel like this philosophy is my baby.
Yeah.
And my job is to really get it out as far and wide as possible so that other pet parents can spread the, you know, it amplifies.
Yeah. That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
For sure. That makes sense.
I imagine the listeners are wondering how you got those numbers. So is it just the first name and the last name, and you, and each letter is equivalent to a number? Is that correct?
Yes. So right now, just for, you know, just a quick down and dirty numerology reading, I just pulled the letters against your first name and your animal companion's first name.
Okay.
And each letter is assigned a number of the alphabet. So A is one, mm-hmm. for example, and you kind of go around in that fashion. Every number carries a vibration,
right?
And they have personalities. So as I look at, you know, Bob, for example, his B is 2, O is 6, B is 2. So that shows me that he has a lot of balance, right? 2, 6, 2. 2 is about duality and balance and seeing that yin and yang of the male and female perspective. Mm-hmm. 6 is the caregiver number. If you look at the number 6, it even looks like a pregnant woman, right? With a belly.
Oh my God.
So he's got a lot of that sweet nurturing energy. Wow. And then it's balanced again with the 2. And 6 also has to do with the 6th chakra, which is vision, right? Our third eye. Wow. So it's cool because if you really start digging deep and observing the smaller clues, they add up to such a beautiful bigger picture.
This is amazing. I love this.
Yeah, it's been fascinating.
Oh my God, so cool.
Well, it's funny that you should say he's a 6 in the center with the O, and that's the pregnant person, because
Mr. Bob really does need to lose some weight. You would think that he was carrying at least a pack of six in there, but he's not.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. But you know, one of the cool things I love about numerology as well, for anyone looking to open their intuition or intuitive gifts, mm-hmm. when you give your left brain something to do, which is pull numbers and add them up, it frees up the right side of your brain, which is the more intuitive aspect, to really flow freely and read between the lines. That's what intuition is. It's reading the energy between the lines.
So we are talking with Denise Monge. Mm. She is an animal communicator. And how would you, like, am I, you know, a chakra reader, numerology? It's fantastic and works with animals. God, this is just so cool. So I'm wondering if you can identify some common kind of pet behaviors that you hear and how energetically, you know, you see that and what's associated with that.
Absolutely. So in working traditionally with a lot of dogs and their humans, I started realizing that there were trends, right? I worked in New York City, so one of the most popular behaviors that I was called in about was on-leash reactivity. That's their on-leash, they're barking at dogs, they're barking at bicycles, barking at everything going around, right? Then I started realizing that, wow, as I kind of do the traditional training, it's not solving the problem entirely. It's helping a little, but it's not going away. So I started pulling back and picking up on some of the energy of the situation. And typically the pet parents who had dogs with on-leash reactivity were a bit ungrounded, or maybe they were between jobs, so they didn't feel like they had that foundation or security. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had been, they had trouble with their mothers or the maternal figures in their lives. All those have to do with issues of the first chakra, which mm-hmm. is grounding, security, wow. Your connection to Mother Earth, and, you know, the notion of victimhood and whether you have control in your life or not. So on-leash reactivity, I started mapping against the first chakra. And so we worked with pet parents, both with the traditional training, but then also energetically. We would talk about what's going on in their lives. So like, Denise, you're my dog trainer, but you're also my life coach. Like, this is crazy, right? And once we started addressing things in all aspects of their lives, behavior started shifting in the dogs. So it's like, well, that's interesting. What else is there? Another huge one that I encounter a lot is barking, right? That attention barking. You're trying to get something done and your dog's barking at you. They want to play. They want to do this. They're starting to get frustrated. That has to do with issues around the third chakra and stepping into your power, right? So it's all about, you know, taking action, taking responsibility, avoiding that self-sabotage of, well, if I don't take the first step, then nothing will change. They're literally barking at you saying, let's get that creative project going. Wow. Come on. You've got this. Step into your light. So, you know, I've mapped everything from on-leash reactivity, separation anxiety, to nipping, guest reactivity, accidents, lost pets and transitioned pets. Mm. All those match up to different chakra. And we're able to tap into universal themes that relate to every human to help ourselves and our animal companions.
This, I'm like in awe. My mouth is like to the floor. This is so cool.
I know. I have a question that I think one of my friends would be thrilled if I could get some semblance of advice or an answer to this. This is a young lady who needed to move out of her life conditions and bring her two cats into a home that also has two other cats. And mm-hmm. these four cats, two siblings that were already in the home are, you know, adorable and wonderful together. And her two are adorable and wonderful together. But putting them together, mm-hmm. the at-home cats, the ones who it was their territory, are now starting to pee outside the box. And mm-hmm. clearly that's a statement of being upset and all that. Do you have any recommendations about what she might be able to do, or other things she should look into? I'm pretty Absolutely. Sure there's no medical conditions, because it was a direct correlate to these newcomers coming in.
Absolutely. So there's two things that are at play right there. Number one is the number four, right? We know four has to do with the heart chakra and setting emotional boundaries and energetic boundaries. So that's going to be really important as, you know, she welcomes someone into her home, or, you know, this woman's moving into someone else's home, to set those energetic boundaries so that the energies aren't completely enmeshed. Because sometimes when someone comes into our home, we feel it's a little, you know, they're taking over our space and our energy. And we're
intrusive.
And when we're entering someone's home as a guest, sometimes we feel like we have to be overgiving because they've been so generous to do our home. So let's everyone in that dynamic set up those healthy, energetic boundaries. And it might also be mirrored a little bit in creating a separation, a physical separation for the cats so that they can get away from each other, rest, and come back and play. Now, with the accidents, I link accidents to the sixth chakra, which has to do with the energy around I see, right? And so for this situation, what's really popping up is not processing properly the difference between what they thought their life was going to be versus what it turned out, right? Because they say that's the farthest distance between two points is the way we thought our life was going to turn out versus how it is. So really reconciling, you know, the new stage in her life and making sure that she's letting go what needs to let go, processing it, working through it, not just trying to, you know, blow past any hurt or any disappointment. Really process it, be with it, so that the animal companions don't have to on her behalf.
Do you think that's then about the homeowner or the relative that had to move into the homeowner's home?
I think it has
who needs to accept that life wasn't the way it turned out.
I think both. Yeah, I think it's both, but it's more so about the relative who had to move in.
Gotcha.
God, this is
and
so
that's
cool.
Created the spiteful or negative energy that's going on in the homeowner's cat?
Yeah, so the cats are just mirroring the energetic patterns that they're getting with no judgment, right? So there's no emotion attached. They're just mirroring and drawing attention to, okay, these are the energetic patterns that in this household let's look at, right? The interesting thing is they also... whenever we're dealing with the sixth chakra and seeing the difference between, you know, what you thought your life was going to be versus how it turned out to be, you also tend to hit on issues of the second chakra, which have to do with balancing your needs versus other people's needs, balancing the masculine and feminine in your life. So definitely have them keep an eye on possible bladder, kidney, UTI issues, that kind of thing, because that could pop up signaling the second chakra needs a little attention.
Gotcha. Oh, interesting. So now, thanks for that.
Do you get intuitions on people as well? Okay, you do.
I do. So basically the way that I like to read people, because I, you know, different intuitives have different comfort zones. I'm not as comfortable with, you know, people and that kind of thing. But if the animals bring it in, then we're good, right?
That makes sense.
So animals, for me and for their humans who come to me for quote-unquote pet readings, the animals are that comfortable access point where we can open our heart, let our guards down, and then the energy and the dynamic comes through. So when I'm reading the pet, for me, it's impossible not to read the human, right? Because the energy is so interlaced.
God, that's so fascinating. I remember, I think, Deborah, you know the story. So Moose was having like chronic diarrhea when I first got him when he was like a puppy. And I had this holistic vet who I guess was an intuitive, but I didn't know. Someone had just recommended, you know, have this guy come over, and he comes over and he like brings some wand with energy. I don't know what was going on. And he's like, oh, he's like, that's odd. He's like, I'm trying to push the energy toward Moose, but he's pushing it toward you.
Interesting.
And at that moment, I was like in the middle of an eating disorder, just not in a great place.
Yeah.
And it was just so sweet that like he was so kind. It was like, you know, don't worry about me. Like, take care of my mom, you know.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And so the way I like to talk about our animal companions, you know, because a lot of times pet parents go to the place of guilt, right? Like, oh, so I have issues. And what if I didn't have issues, then does that mean my dog would have been okay? Mm. Right. And so the way I like to approach the pet parent pet relationship is we all have lessons to learn here,
right?
And so odds are some of us share some similar lessons, right? So it's like in school doing a book report. Instead of doing it on your own, everybody read the same book, you're going to do a group report on that same book.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you had everything together, it doesn't mean that Moose would have been 100% fine, right? Because we all have lessons that we're here to learn, and we're just helping each other through them.
Mm. Oh, so beautiful. So what do you say to people who think what you do, I mean, I obviously, you know, me and Deborah, we are like strong believers, but I imagine there's people who are like, you know, think your stuff is hocus pocus.
Oh, absolutely. My dad still thinks I'm a dog walker.
I love it.
You know, I really believe to each his own. One thing I've learned about finding my voice is I speak my truth in hopes that it reaches those who it resonates with. And some people are absolutely ready to hear it. And they're like, oh my gosh, I just didn't know how to verbalize that my pet mirrored me and that this energy had to do with my pet's behavior and that we feed upon each other, right? In that energetic way. Some people aren't ready for it and no judgment, right? I've worked with clients who take the energetic approach and things clear up. And I've worked with clients who will acknowledge it, but they're not ready to let go of the story yet. So I've really learned to be unattached. It's been a very hard lesson because you want to see everyone you work with succeed. But some people, they'll hear it when they're ready, or maybe they're not ready and a different approach works for them.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense for both Kelly and me too. I mean, in our field, people come to us and they may believe that they're ready to hear alternative styles or thoughts or input about how to, you know, make their lives better. But, you know, we deal with a lot of resistance as well.
Absolutely.
Or just, you know, people who just don't accept what we have to say.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I think I've been fortunate that nobody's come at me very aggressively or questioned me. You know, if it's not for them, it's not for them.
Right.
I haven't had to face anything really intense yet. Have you guys?
Oh, God, yes. The two of Deborah far worse than me, but yes, of course. I mean,
I missed the question.
She
it got
said,
a little
She said, have you had to deal with like very intense situations or people
who are like, no, that's
oh my
not
gosh
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Not my
seriously
truth
intense. Oh
well,
my goodness,
especially because people don't want to look at their issues, so when you're basically mirroring and saying, hey, you know, this is what I'm seeing, it's hard for them to hear it.
And I'll say one thing that has helped is being in advertising. Right, as an account manager, I had to deliver tough news. So I'm also very, you know, some dog trainers are great with dogs, not awesome with humans. I'm very good with dogs and humans. So I will read the human. I'm not going to push the issue if they're not open to it, they're not ready. So I try to be as compassionate in the situation and give as much as I can without it being a front to what they believe or what they need to hear in that moment.
That's great.
So I think being in the listening in that way helps as well.
Interesting. So,
wow. I have one more question if I can about Prowler's journey, if I can ask one more.
Absolutely.
I just want to have a sense for myself, since I am like, I'm trying to process this.
Uh-oh, Deborah, we're losing you. Okay, she'll come back in
she'll
a minute.
She'll come back.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask you in the meantime until she comes back. So what are some of the things that we can do as pet parents or even people? Deborah, are you in the back? She's cutting
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. You cut out for a little bit, so we didn't hear your question.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, I have a little bit of I'd say advanced grieving, trying to be very rational and understanding about what's really realistic in this process with Prowler's illness and, you know, what he's capable of, what medicine's capable of. So I get really, really sad now and again. And I guess like with young children, oftentimes we're told as parents or adults not to deliver that kind of emotion in front of them. Is it okay for me to be authentic and genuine in front of my kitty cat when I feel that sense of like just almost like just letting him go, you know, at the level he needs to? Or is that too much for him, too much burden?
No, it's beautiful. Thank you for asking that question, because that's so important. You know, our animal companions, they know our energy doesn't lie. So he's helping you find and access that point where it's okay to let go, where you give that little girl permission to cry. Because we're all just reverting back to some childhood energetic patterns, right? Our childhood forms a lot of these patterns. So you might even find that it's appropriate to sit with Prowler and just, you know, be like, I'm really upset right now. Yes, there's a glimmer of me that knows it's going to be okay, but I'm just going to let these emotions, you know, flow through me. When we try to block them up, that's where we create blockages within our chakra system. And that can become disease in us and, you know, malaise. But another powerful thing you can do within this dynamic is talk to that little girl. Like, can you think of a time when you were really upset as a little girl and talk to her, be like, it's okay to cry, little one. I get it.
Yeah.
So like there's a healing on all
love
levels.
Child.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Thanks for that. Because that was one of my fears of nervous Nelly of, oh, I don't want to do damage. And I also want to be able to just sharing my space with him too.
Yeah, and you want to think about, you know, where are other places in your life that you've been trying to hold it all together for everyone? You know, because maybe
oh,
you're
like
taking
everywhere.
Too much.
I was just
yeah.
going to say that you're talking to the right person. Yes, that's Deborah.
Because those patterns and fears that we manifest in terms of our animal companions always have a bigger energetic aspect within our lives. They play a bigger role. So our animal companions are just pointing things out for us to look at more broadly and decide, does that still work for me? Is that a pattern that I want to continue? And if not, how do I change the story? Mm-hmm. Who do I want to become? And we create those new affirmations and patterns.
Wow.
Lovely.
And, you know, I'm thinking as you were asking that question, Deborah, I think it's the same for with kids. Like sometimes a lot of parents are afraid to cry in front of their kids, or I think it's healthy. They need to see, you know, here's somebody expressing how they feel, and it's okay to feel this way, and it's not shameful and, you know, anything like that.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I don't have any kids of my own, but I have two nephews, one who's 4 and one who's 2. And, you know, one is incredibly sensitive to energy. So it's not only showing them that emotion's okay, which they're having the benefit of receiving that message these days, but now everybody's so attuned to energy that we're able to talk to them about the energy they're experiencing, right? When they have these energetic experiences, we can be like, yeah, you need to do a little grounding. This is what grounding is.
Yes.
This is what a chakra is. So I'm super excited to see what the generation, you know, below us is going to bring to the table as they're more attuned to their emotions and the energy.
I love that.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we have
So what have we missed that you do want to share with our listeners, because we are running out of time, unbelievably.
Absolutely. And so really what I want to share is, you know, if you have an animal companion in your life, look at every single behavior and behavior that they do around you, whether it's a positive behavior, something you enjoy, or something that's triggering. Look at that instead of from the point of your animal companion being naughty or nice. Look at it as a growth opportunity for you to look at the patterns, the energy behind that behavior, to see where else in your life it's manifesting itself. Because we do want to empower ourselves as pet parents and really leverage all the messages they're here to share. And if you don't have a pet, there are very simple little things you can do to shift the energy and honor the animals, which, you know, moving away from that dominant space philosophy. So if you don't have a pet, you can still, instead of saying pet owner, start saying pet guardian or pet parent. It just shifts the energy and creates a whole new conversation. So those are just a couple things that I love to share and broadcast out there.
And where can people find your services and your website and all that stuff?
If anyone's interested, I'm on social media as @Denise_trainer, like dog trainer. And then my website is www.petprana.com. And I do in-person classes in LA. I have a ton of online courses for people all over the globe. And if you're interested in this messaging, I have a free gift, the top 7 things your pet wants you to know. Yeah, so feel free to log on and access that and start reading.
You are so lovely, and you're so your energy is really beautiful, and I love what you do. So thank you
so much. So lovely. Absolutely.
Well,
great word,
thank
Kelly.
Thank you for having me and for sharing your animal companions with me.
And it's like divine timing, although I'm sure you know that, but like the fact Deborah, I'm so happy that we did this show today because I feel like you needed it. So well, Deborah, we're saying prayers for you and lots of love. And you know, everybody out there, if you can say a prayer for Prowler, that would be lovely because we're all rooting for him.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you
so much. And he just got safely home.
Yay.
So he's now being kissed by his brother, who's smelling his butt, making sure that he went to good places.
So next week we have
Cutie.
Helena Donald. She is amazing. She wrote the book The Girl in the Mirror, and it's about overcoming eating disorders. This is so funny. She was actually the bartender at my book party, and we totally hit it off. And she said, "What are you celebrating for your party?" I said, "Oh, I wrote a book on ADHD." And she said, "Oh, you know, I wrote one too." And we totally connected. It ends up she's just amazing. So I'm super excited to have her on, and you know, be really cool to talk about eating disorders and this generation and past. And so that'll be really cool. So follow us on Instagram.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that funny? At Two Shrinks, TWO Shrinks, and our website's Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly. Sorry, our Facebook's Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show. Our website is docandtherapist.com. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see Thank you. Soon. Love y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.